Please turn with me in your Bibles to the letter to the Hebrews, that portion of scripture we read in our second scripture reading, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. These words, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And our subject this morning is just that, the deceitfulness of sin. Well, in our recent Bible studies here on Wednesday evenings, we've been going through the book of Romans. Well, we've just started, and we came to the end of chapter 1 on Wednesday just gone, and we were considering some very solemn and serious things about what happens to a society when God abandons it, or rather, what happens to a society when God leaves it to its own devices. God will at some times, well, if a society is so determined to throw off the rule of God, if a society is so determined to allow unbelief and atheism to rule over them, much like this society that we see today, well, God at times will just abandon that society. He will remove his restraining hand and he will just let society, well, he will leave it to its own devices. God will leave it and see how it gets on by itself. And it won't get on very well. The Bible says that when a society is given over by God, things will just decline and decline, get worse and worse, and all sorts of terrible sins will be seen. All types of evil and wickedness will be rife. And some of the things we considered, well, a society that has been given over by God, there will be all types of immorality and perversion, particularly sexual immorality. There'll be maliciousness. There will be pride, terrible pride. There'll be covenant breaking. So many people will be unfaithful to their loved ones. So many people will not want to make commitments in marriage and so forth. This is the sign of a society that has been forsaken by God. There'll be haters of God, open, violent, aggressive atheists, haters of God. It'll be a cruel society. People will lack love or even natural affection, even for those close to them. And it was a terrible sin list that the Apostle Paul gives at the end of Romans chapter 1. But amongst those sins, and this is where we begin our thinking this morning, amongst those sins was the sin of deceit. The sin of deceit. And this is what we will consider this morning. The deceitfulness of sin. Well, what is deceit? Some of you perhaps will not be clear on what that means. What is deceit? Well, deceit is the action of deceiving somebody, hiding something, concealing the truth, or misrepresenting the truth. It's lying, really, in its essence. It's pretense. It's pretending to be something. And well, we see very much, even in this day and age, in this society, so much deceit around us. It's a great feature of our society at every level. There was last week an extraordinary news item that made the headlines. I'm sure you must have read about this. A Ukrainian journalist had supposedly been murdered in cold blood. That was the initial news report. Somebody had shot him, and there were pictures of him lying dead in a pool of his own blood. and it was reported in the news. The obituaries were written, and all his friends and family were grieving. But then, lo and behold, a day or two afterwards, it was revealed that it had all been just an act of deceit. It was a deception. He hadn't really died. He was still alive. This had all been some pretense. This had all been just some act. It had been staged. And, so many people wrote about this and commented about this. The journalist was attacked about this. A journalist, someone who should be reporting truth to people, they attacked him. Why is he engaging in an act of deception like this? But you see, this is what the world has come to. There is so much deception in this world, so much fake news. Not only are we confused in this society about what is right and what is wrong, we're so confused about what is true and what is false. It's a society full of deceit. And this is a great feature of the society that we see today. And of course, let me just add, we are not immune to deceit, even as Christians sometimes. I have to mention this. Even in our own lives as Christians, it's so easy to come into a church and to act out our profession of faith, make out we're wonderful Christians on Sundays in church, when actually the reality is we're not wonderful Christians. Throughout the rest of the week, we're living in an ungodly way, we're doing things that are unworthy, and yet when we come to church, we almost put on an act. It's almost an act of deception. Well, it is. So I just mention that because it can be done in the church as well as outside the church. We as Christians, we ought to be sincere people. People who truly know God. People who truly love God. Not just people who act like they know God and act like they love God. We are to be sincere. Otherwise, we're just deceiving everybody around us. Deceit, it's a feature of our society. So we have to be aware of these things. But our subject this morning is the deceitfulness of sin, particularly. The deceitfulness of sin. How does sin deceive us? Let me put a few things before you. We don't have long. But first of all, sin deceives us by pretending or presenting itself that it is harmless. Sin is harmless. We live in a very sinful society, and yet this is a society that is always protesting its own innocence, that's always claiming we're not doing anything wrong. What's wrong with doing this? What's wrong with doing that? What's wrong with living this immoral lifestyle? What's wrong with it? Nothing ever seems to be wrong with anything, with tolerating this or that. Because sin is very deceitful. Sin tells us, it's harmless. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing. That's the deceit of sin. The only rule that seems to be put in place nowadays is, if you're not hurting anybody, it's all right. If you're not hurting anybody else, then you can do whatever you want. But that is such a lie. That is so deceitful. Sin always hurts somebody else. Do you know that? Do you realize that? We always tend to think that sin, if I sin, I'm only hurting me. Sin always hurts somebody else. We have to understand this, and it's so simple. You think about if you steal something, that's affecting somebody else. Somebody else is going without that thing that you have stolen. It's affecting somebody else. If you're cruel, you're unkind, you're going to be cruel to somebody else. Somebody else is going to be the object of your cruelty and unkindness. If you lie to someone, of course, you're lying to somebody else. You're misleading somebody else. And if a lie is exposed, as it so often is, that person you've lied to is very hurt, is damaged. That person, They'll lose trust in you. And perhaps they'll even lose trust in anybody else. They'll be damaged because of your sin. This is the deceitfulness of sin. All our sins damage other people. And so often they damage the people who are closest to us. If we are parents with children, well, do you realize that your sins affect them? Of course they do. Even if your sins are not directed towards your children, your sins affect them. If your children see you being selfish or aggressive or stealing or lying, well, they will take on the same sins. They will see the role model and they will start doing the same things. Your sins are affecting them, are changing them. So it's impossible for a sin just to affect you. Sin always affects other people. Sin is like a disease, an infectious disease. It will always spread. So don't be deceived that sin only affects you. It always affects others. But of course, well, sin does hurt us. Sin hurts us greatly. And this is why we must turn away from it. Sin, well, it lies to us when it comes to us with its temptations. Sin always promises that if we just do what we want, if we live as we please, if we live without God, because that is what sin ultimately is, a life spent without God. If we live without God, well, then everything will be wonderful. Everything will be so pleasant. You'll enjoy yourself so much. Sin will make you happy. Sin will give you a better life. That's how it deceives us. This is the great lie of sin, and this is the great deception. This is how sin has deceived man from the very beginning. You think about the Garden of Eden. You think about Adam and Eve and how they were tempted to rebel against God and to take of the tree with the forbidden fruit. How did Satan tempt them? Well, Satan promised, you'll be happier if you take this fruit. You'll enjoy yourself if you take this fruit. You'll be so much better. You'll be like gods if you have this. Forget what God says. Just take of that tree and everything will be wonderful. Well, then what happened? Were they happier? Were they like gods? No. Man fell. His glory was lost. Adam, so glorious, made in the image of God, his glory was lost. Him and his wife were expelled from the Garden of Eden. They lost their home, their privileged home, all because they were deceived by sin. All because they were deceived by Satan. And that is exactly the way that sin operates now. Sin presents itself to us as something so good, but sin always wants to bring you down. Always. I was very struck recently by the demise of a great entertainer who I used to watch on the TV growing up. As a boy, well, millions of people around the world used to watch him, a great comedian from the States. His career spanned many decades. He received many accolades and awards, a brilliant man, a cultural icon. But then at the very end of his life, right at the very end of his life, all his sins were revealed. His shameful sins, his immorality, and all of his work, his good work, his awards and accolades, they were all ruined. Nobody remembers them now. Sin, the sin in his life, had brought him down, had removed all his glory. Once he was a figure that everyone respected, now he's just a figure of shame. Now he's just a figure of humiliation because of his sin. That's what sin wants to do to you. That's what Satan wants to do to you. He doesn't want to show you a good time. He wants to bring you down and humiliate you. So we have to turn away from these things. You see, we cannot get away with our sin. That is the great principle. The devil will always get us to think that we can get away with things. Oh, if you just do this sin, nobody will know, you can get away with it. But you can't get away with sin. In the Old Testament, Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. You don't have to doubt about that. Perhaps it won't be in this life. I'm sure that some people have sinned and their secrets have remained with them until the grave. But even at the end of your life, you have to appear before God. God knows that you have sinned. You have to give an account to Him. And then your sin will find you out. Then you will have to stand before a holy God. You will have to answer to Him. And well, the punishment for sin is eternal loss, a lost eternity. And that is a terrible thing. Hell awaits all those who have sinned and have not sought the Lord. Well, we have to understand this. Many people I know don't believe in hell. Not many churches preach about hell anymore. They're scared to. And again, that's the work of Satan. Oh, there is no hell. You don't have to worry about it. Nobody talks about it. So just go and sin as much as you want. The deceitfulness of sin. Some people, even though they believe in hell, well, they think they can handle it. I remember meeting a man once, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to you before. We knocked on his door. It was round the Old Kent Road. We were knocking on doors and inviting people to church. And we spoke to this one guy, and he made it very clear he was a worshipper of Satan. He did not esteem Christ. He did not esteem the things of God. He worships Satan. He does as he pleases. And he said to us, I know where I'm going. I'm going to hell. I know where I'm going. And we looked at him and we said, but do you want to go to hell? And he went, yes. And he just shut the door. He wanted to go to hell. Well, dear friends, that is the deceitfulness of sin. This man was so deluded. He thought that he could handle hell. And many people, I think, believe this. Oh, hell isn't that bad. If they think about hell at all, they think, oh, hell isn't that bad. Maybe in hell we can do what we want. We won't have any preachers preaching to us. In hell we can just enjoy ourselves and indulge in sin and so forth. But dear friends, that is so far from the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about hell many times in the Sermon on the Mount. We read about hell with the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. We see it there. But you know where the greatest picture of hell is in the Bible? The greatest picture of hell, and I say this advisedly, it's the cross of Calvary. That's the greatest picture of hell that we see in the Bible. It's the cross. Because on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our hell for us. That is what hell is going to be like. That's why Christ came into this world, to bear our eternal punishment. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, even before the cross, at the Garden of Gethsemane, just thinking about what awaited him on the cross, he sweat drops of blood. He knew how terrible it would be to go to the cross and to face the punishment of God. And then you think of the cross itself, well, you think of the physical agony, and that was terrible, but that was only a small fraction of the suffering. The real suffering was the agony of his soul. Our greatest pains are never the outward pains. Our greatest pains are always the pains of our heart, of our soul, our inward grief. And that was the greatest pain that Christ suffered on the cross. that caused him to cry out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" I am facing the wrath of God, the eternal punishment. He bore our hell for us. He took it for us. All our sins were placed upon him, and he bore our hell for us. So that's the greatest picture of hell that we have in the Bible, the cross at Calvary. Christ dying for all those who would have faith in him, but for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who do not want to have faith that Christ has died for them, well, they will have to take that punishment upon themselves. What Christ suffered at Calvary on the cross, you will have to suffer yourself if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what hell is. And let us not be deceived about these things. But time is moving on. And let me just add one more thing, which is perhaps the greatest deceit of sin. The greatest deceit of sin. I was speaking to someone just the other day about a woman who fell into some terrible things. She found herself steeped in sin. She got into drugs. And then she had to engage in all manner of vice just to fund her drug addiction. And somebody came alongside her, a Christian woman, and said to her, "Why don't you go to church? Why don't you go and hear the word of God?" And this woman, this poor woman, said that would be the last place I would go. That would be the last place I would go. And her friend said, "Why do you say that?" And she said, "Well, what have I to do with God? A sinner such as I am, a drug addict like me, engaged in all sorts of vice, I would never dare go to a church. What have I got to do with God?" And dear friends, you know, that is the greatest deceit of sin. The greatest deceit of Satan. Satan tells you, you can't go to God because you're too sinful. That is the greatest lie. You can come to God, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter what types of sin you're steeped in. And there's all manner of sin nowadays. There's all manner of shameful things that people don't want to even speak about. All manner of addictions. God knows, and you can bring them to God. This is why Christ came and died, so that there may be salvation for all people, no matter what their condition. Not just for some people, but for all people who put their faith and their trust in him. God can heal you. God can save you. God can bring you to repentance, give you victory over your sin. God can give you a new life. Only he can do that through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So don't be deceived by the lies of the evil one who tells you you cannot come. You can come. Christ invites you to come even this day. This is the tremendous beauty of the gospel message. So these are the words that we consider and we take away even this morning. Exhort one another daily while it is called today. Don't put it off. We read here in this verse, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin will only bring you down. Sin will only humiliate you. Sin will only at the very end lead you eternally away from God. Repent this day. If you don't know the Lord, repent today and pray for salvation and you will be saved. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Father in heaven, O Lord, we thank thee that even though there is so much sin in this world that leads people astray, we thank thee that there is the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that we may embrace, that we may know, that we may follow. And, O Lord, that gospel that imparts eternal life to each and every one of us, forgive us afresh all our sin, no matter what it is. Help us to come to thee, Lord, even this morning. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.